Begin the current daf Masechta Sanhedrin daf Yud Zayin. Begin on the bottom of Tesayin and Beis, second line up from the bottom of the Amud, where the Gemara continues explaining the Mishnah of our Perek, which is that one Mishnah, open up the Masechta, discussing the different types of courts that there are in law. And one of them is Sanhedrin Gedai Lahaisa. There was the great Sanhedrin, the great court, which was in the Beis HaMikdash in Lishkas HaGazas, which was a machlekes, if it was 70 or 71. So the Gemara now explains the different opinions. My tam de Rabbanon, what's the reason the Rabbanon? De Amri u'mayshal gabeyan, that they said that there was the 70 Zekeinim that were in the Midbar, which is, and then additionally to that, on top of that, Rabbi Huda says, so that was the 70. No, the Rabbanon say there was 71 because Moshe Rabbeinu was with them. 70 plus 1 is 71. What's the reason? What's the source that they say that's not just the Shivim HaZakenim, but that it was including Moshe Rabbeinu? So that says the Gemara, Amakra, because the Pasuk says in the Midbar, V'hisyatzvu sham, they will stand with you. They will stand over there, as the Gemara contains on top of Yitzayim and Alf, Imach. Imach, what does that tell you? Ba'at ba'dayu, that you're with them. It's the 70 of them plus you. That makes for a total of 71. But says the Gemara, Rabbi Huda, he would tell you, no, when it says Imach, it's saying that with you they will stand out of the Oil Mayid and they will not come into the Oil Mayid, Mishum Shechina, because of divine presence. I'm not saying that he was part of them. No, it's just 70. It's just saying, just like you're on the outside, so too they'll be on the outside. Or another interpretation is that when it says that Imach Mishum Shechina, means to say that so that the divine presence should rest on them, that's why Moshe Rabbeinu had to stand with them, as the Pasuk says in Midbar Yud-Aleph, "Vatzalti min haruach asher alecha," that so to speak, to take from the divine presence that's on Moshe Rabbeinu and then put it onto the Shem HaZakenim, that's why they were imach, but not the imach that is part of them, of their quorum of having 71, rather just that with them because of the element of the Shechina. Whereas Rabbanan, if so, if Imach is just teaching because of the Shechina, so then how do they know that Moshe Rabbeinu was with them to make it 71? Amakra, the Pasuk says in Midbar, V'nasu itcha b'mas ha'am, that they will carry with you the load of the people. Itcha, with you, says, V'at ba'dayu, that you're with them. That's why they're 71. But Rabbi Huda, he would say that no, when it says itcha, with you, it means b'daymen lach, similar to you, meaning that they have the yichus and they're pure from any blemishes, just like Moshe Rabbeinu. Not that he was part of them, it was just like that with you, meaning like you. But Rabbanan, they would tell you that no, the elders, the Sanhedrin, had to be similar to Moshe Rabbeinu, but that's not learned from Itcha. Itcha says that he was with them to make it 71. They learn out from a pasuk in Shemais that says, they learn now from the pasuk which says that they will lighten from you and carry with you the load of the Jewish people, which that was a reference to the smaller courts, the Sanhedrin Ketana that was said by Yisrael. And so we see that there that they carried with you, that they had to be similar to you. And the Yalfa Sanhedrin Gedolim is Sanhedrin Ketana. And we learn out if the smaller courts had to be like Moshe Rabbeinu, but sure, the great courts had to be like Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's where we know that they were similar to him, but the previous pasuk of Itcha is extra to tell you that Moshe Rabbeinu was part of them, and that's why the Rabbanu hold at 71, not like Rabbi Yehuda said it was just 70. Now, Tanan Bon learned the Braisa relating to this theme of where we learn out the 70 elders, which is from the incident in the Midbar, where you had to Esfali Shiv and Zikainim, you had to gather 70, and that's the Machlekes, was it 70 like Rabbi Yehuda, or was Moshe Rabbeinu plus 1 to make it 71? But the Gemara brings Tarabon, learn the Braisa, the Pasuk in the Midbar says, V'yisha'aru shnei anoshim b'machne, that there were two men that were left over in the camp. What does it mean they were left over? And this is in regards to the quorum of the Sanhedrin HaGadol. Yesh Aimrim Bekalfi Nishtaira, that those who say that they were left over in the box. What does it mean they were left over in the box? Explains the Gemara. Shabashah Sha'amala HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, the Pasuk in Bamidbar, Esfali Shivim Ish Mizikni Yisrael, gather me 70 men from the elders of the Jewish people, which is to make this in Hetan HaGadol. So Amma Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu said, Ketzer Esa, what should I do? Ever Shishim Mikol Shevet V'Shevet, if I'm going to select 6 Tamid HaChamim from each tribe, well, that's going to be times 12. It's going to be 72. Nimtu shnayim yisayim. Hashem said only 70. It's going to be 2 extra. Ever chamisha chamisha mikol shevet shevet. If I'm going to select only 5 from each shevet, so it's going to come up a total of 60. Nimtu esar chaseim. It's going to come up a missing 10. Ever shisha mishevet zeh v'chamisha mishevet zeh. If I'm going to take 6 from this tribe and 5 from this tribe, in other words, that it shouldn't come out this discrepancy. Some will have 6, some will have 5. Harini matal kina ben hashvat. I'm going to make jealousy and fighting between the tribes. Why do you take 6 from them and only 5 from us? Sama'a, so what did Moshe Rabbeinu do? So Birir Shisha Shisha. He selected six from each tribe. Behavi Shivim Mishnayim Piskin. They brought 72 pieces of paper. Al Shivim Kasav Zakin. On 70 of them he wrote an elder, meaning that he'll be from the Zakenim that are in the Sanhedrin. Vishnayim Hiniachalak. And two of them he left empty. He didn't write on them the word Zakin. Balalan Benosnim Bekalfi. Mixed them up and he put in the box. Amalahem, then he said to the 72 elders, Bayu utlu piskechem, come and take your piece of paper. Call me Shalabi Adi Zakin, whoever took out the paper that said Zakin, Amr Moshe ben Yisetim, kvar kitshecha shemayim, in heaven they already sanctified you, you're one of the Sanhedrin. Misha Alabi Adi Chalik, whoever had an empty piece of paper, Amr, he said, Hamokim li chavetzbach, the place, meaning reference to Hashem, doesn't desire you, anima asalach, what can I do for you? And therefore he wasn't included in the Sanhedrin. Now, two of those 70 who went to pick their paper, they took out a piece of paper that was empty. But there were two pieces of paper left in the box which had the names of elder and maiden written on them, but that they did not go to even take the piece of paper because they were afraid, as we're going to explain later, that they're not going to be part of it. So therefore, when it says that there were two that were left in the camp, it means there were two pieces of paper left in the box that never even took. Meaning two that ended up staying in the Sanhedrin, they really had the empty piece, but they saw 68 and the other remaining two, so they joined. Because the elder and maiden really were supposed to be picked, they never even went to go. And their papers remained in the box. Now the Gemara says, you find a similar parallel with Moshe Rabbeinu when he had a similar quandary what to do, as it says in Pasuk in Bamidbar. It says, that Moshe Rabbeinu was told that you will take five shkalim for each head, which was referring to what happened was that the firstborns were supposed to do the avodah. But then after the cheder egel, the sin of the golden calf, the Levim took over that role. Now, every firstborn had to be redeemed, so to speak, by a Levi. But there was a discrepancy. There were more firstborns than there were for the amount of Levim. So Hashem told them, so the ones that have a Levi to take their place, so that takes it. But the ones that don't, how do they deconsecrate their Kedusha? They have to give five shkalim to the Beis HaMikdash, to the Mishkan. Now, Amar Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu said, similar to the previous predicament that we spoke about when he was making the Sanhedrin, here when it came to taking from those extra Bechayim, Amar Moshe said, Ketzer Eslan Lisol, what am I going to do with the Jewish people? Im Oymaloy Tenli Pidyon Chabitzei, if I'm going to tell this firstborn, here, give me your redemption money and leave, Yemeli, he's going to tell me, what do you mean, Kvar Padani Ben Levi? I was already canceled out by a Levi. I'm from those that were in that count. So Ma'asa, what did he do? Hevi Esther Mishnaim Alofim Piskin. He brought 22,000 pieces of paper. For Kasav Alein Ben Levi. And he wrote on those 22,000 pieces of paper that the son of a Levi. Now, Vashlesha Veshivim Amasayim, but regarding 273 of them, meaning another 273, Kasav Aleihen Chamisha Shkalim. He wrote on them, not Ben Levi, not that he's being redeemed by Ben Levi, but that he has to give five Shkalim. Balalan Benosim Bekalfi, he mixed them up and he put into a box. Amalahan, so he said to all the firstborns, come and Tulu Piskechem, take your piece of paper. Misha Alabiyada Ben Levi, whoever picked out a piece of paper that said Ben Levi, Amalai said to him, Kvar Padacha Ben Levi, so a Levi has already redeemed you, he already took your place, you don't have to give any money. Whoever took out the piece of paper from this lottery that said five shkalim, Amalai said to him, 10 pidyon chavetzei, give you redemption money, and then you can leave. But again, that was just a comparison to the previous, which we had said regarding Eldad and Medad, that they were the ones who left their two pieces of paper in the box. Now, however, Reb Shimon Naim, he gives a different interpretation in what does it mean that there were two that were left in the camp. Doesn't mean that there are two pieces of paper left in the box. It means b'machan and nishtayru. It means that Eldad and Medad remained back in the camp. They didn't go with Moshe Rabbeinu to the Mishkan to be part of this revelation of this Sanhedrin HaGadol. Because what happened was, it was b'shosh amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Moshe, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Esther v'li shivim ish, gather for me 70 men. Amru Eldad and Medad. So Eldad and Medad said, Ein anu ruin lo isa gedula. We're not worthy for this greatness. So they didn't go. They remained back in the camp. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Kadosh Baruch Hu said, Hoylo mi atatem atzmachem, since you made yourself small, you held of yourself that you weren't worthy. Harini meisiv gedula gulaschem. So I'm going to make your greatness even greater than the rest. Uma gedula haislehem. What type of greatness was added onto Eldad and Medad? Shehanavim kulon, where all the other prophets, meaning from those other 70 elders, nisnabu, they prophesied that first moment itself, when they had the spiritual presence on them from the area around the Oyel Moed. But upasku, then they, after that, they stopped prophesizing. But they prophesized and they never stopped. Now, Uman Navu and Nisna, but what prophecy did they prophesy? This Elder Medud. So Amr, they said, Moshe Meis, Moshe is going to die. Yeshua Machnes Yisrael La'aretz, and Yeshua is going to take the Jewish people into Eretz Yisrael. Abachanan Oimer Mishum Rebbe Eliezer, he says it was a different prophecy. It was Al Iski Slav Himisnab. They were prophesizing regarding the Slav, which was a temporary thing in the Midbar that they were going to get these birds that they were going to have to eat. And they prophesized, Ali Slav, come up the Slav, which was a turban type of quail, come up the Slav. Nachmanam, he gives the third interpretation of the prophecy. It was Al Iski Goygu Mogig Himisnab. They prophesized regarding the end of days, which is the Machama of Goygu Mogig. They prophesized regarding that. Shenem, like it says the Pasig in Yechezkel. That Koyamar Hashem, like him, so says Hashem, the God, Ha'atu Hu Asher Dibarti B'yam Kadmonim, talking about Goyg, from Mogig, which is the ones who are going to come the end of days, the apocalypse, the big war that's going to be. So he says to him, are you the one that I've spoken about already from earlier days? B'yad avadai Nevi'i Yisrael, in the hands of my servants, the prophets of the Jewish people. Ha'nevi'im b'yamim ma'heim shanim, the prophets from those days, from those years. L'havi oischa aleim b'gum, that I'm going to bring you upon them. Meaning I already prophesied regarding you, Goig, from Mogig, that you're going to come and fight the Jewish people. Now, al tikri shanim ele shanayim. Don't read it from the years, but rather that it was from the two. And ve'ezehen shnayim neviim shnisnabu beperek echad nevo achas. Who were the two prophets that prophesized at the same time the same prophecy? Ha'va'omer elder demedid, that you would say that this is that third interpretation. It was elder demedid who already in those days prophesized regarding the Machamas Goygu Magig. Now the Gemara goes back to explain that Amamar, Reb Shimon had said, Kala neviim kula nisnabu upasku, the greatness that they got because they refused to go, because they held them small, was that all the prophets prophesied and they stopped from the 70s of Canaan. V'hi nisnabu v'lay pasku, and they prophesied and they didn't stop. Now the Gemara asked, Menol and the pasku, where do we know that the other 70 elders, that they only prophesied then and then they stopped? Ilei memidach zeb, if you're going to learn it out from the pasuk in Midbar that talks about by the other elders. And it says over there, v'isnabu v'lay yosafu, that they prophesied and they weren't yosafu, which is being interpreted as like the word below yisifu, and they didn't increase, I mean they didn't do any more. It was the last time that they prophesized. But Elmiyat, if that's how you can interpret the word below yisifu, mean that they didn't increase anymore, mean that it stopped. But then the pasuk in Devarim that says kol godu below yosef, regarding the voice of the divine presence, that said it was a great voice below yosef. What hachanami delay yosef? Who do you think that regarding the divine presence that it's something that's not going to increase and that it stops? Ella, rather, no, obviously you have to say, Deloi pasuku, that to the contrary, the voice of divine presence never stops. So you can't say, Velo Yosafu means that they didn't increase anymore and that it stopped, because that same word we find by the Kail of the Shechina, and that can't be that it stopped. So Ella rather says, the Gemara, the source is because, Hachag Siv, by the other elders, it says, Vayisnabu, in the past tense, that they prophesied. Hasam Siv, but regarding Elder Meidid, it says, Misnabim, they are prophesizing, which is in the current Adain Misnab and Meholchim, they're still prophesizing and continuing on. Again, that was in reward because of their great humility that they held that they weren't great enough. Now, the Gemara asks regarding the three different interpretations of what were their prophecies that they were saying when they remained back in the camp. So the Gemara says, Bishlem Elamandam and Moshe Meis is very well understood according to the interpretation that the prophecy that Elder Meir had was that Moshe Rabbeinu is going to die, which no one knew yet. So that would understand why Yeshua had said to Moshe Rabbeinu when they heard about the prophecy of Elder Medid, Adoni Moshe Kloim, my master Moshe, I want to wipe them out, because how dare they say that you're going to die. But according to the other two interpretations that are either about the Slav or about Gog and Magog, my Adoni Moshe Kloim, why is Yeshua saying that he should wipe them out? What's wrong with their prophecy? Says the Gemara, no, because the Lav Oirech Ara is not appropriate. It's just like when a student teaches a law in front of his teacher, which Yechayv Misa for, a person is not supposed to teach and tell a law when his teacher is there. Same thing over here, when Moshe Rabbeinu is around, just to prophesize is not appropriate, and therefore he said, I should wipe them out. And the Gemara continues asking, it says, Bishlem Elamandu Mahanach Tarti. Now, according to these two interpretations, either regarding the Slav or the Gog and Magog, we could understand, Hain Dechsev, that's what Moshe responded, and he says, oh, Yeshua, why are you getting so carried away? Mi Yitain, who would give if only all the Jewish people would prophesize? And because he was happy that Jewish people had divine presence resting on them. But according to the first interpretation, it says their prophecy was that Moshe Rabbeinu is going to die. When Moshe Rabbeinu was pleased with that, oh, if only everyone would prophesy that I'm going to die. What? Says the Gemara, no, they didn't conclude to measure in what was their prophecy. He only heard that they would prophesy. Oh, prophesy. Oh, it's good. I want other prophets. He didn't hear that the end of it was that it was his death. Now, the Gemara says, my kalayim, what did Yeshua mean when he says, let me wipe them out? So, Amalei, so he said to them, Hatala lein tzarchi tzibur. What he was telling them was that impose upon them the needs of the public, and they'll be depleted by themselves. That's a way of getting rid of them. Just give them the yoke of the public, and that's gonna get them the biggest punishment. Now the Gemara continues explaining the halacha of the Mishnah that said regarding the Sanhedrin Kitana, which are 23 judges, which is by every city gates. So it said that we know that it has to be 20 because you need to have an Eda, as the Gemara taught previously, an Eda that's protecting. V'tzilu Eda, v'shavtu Eda, the word Eda means 10. So 10 is to be mezaka, 10 to be mechayiv, to guilty or to find not guilty. So that's 20. How do you know to add another 3? So on that said the Mishnah, because you have to have that, it says loisiach harabim l'rois. You don't go after the majority for bad. Well, how do you find guilty? Oh, because when it says acharab lahatis, it means you have to go when it's to find the guilty verdict, it has to be by 2. So that would take us up to 22, because you have 10 saying not guilty and 10 saying yeah guilty. So that's already equals out. So you need to have a guilty verdict by 2, not by 1. That's 22. But you can't have an equal bezdin, so that takes us up to 23. That's what the Mishnah said. On that, asked the Gemara, then saif at the end, l'ra al pishnayim l'mishkachas, you'll never have to find a guilty verdict based on 2. In other words, the whole reason why we learned the halacha that goes up from 20 to 23 is because you have to have achir rabim l'rois, it could only be based by 2. Now we said it can't be even, so you add on another one. But the halacha is based on that you have to be by 2. But as the Gemara, you could never really have to find a guilty verdict based on 2. Because I achir asim mezakin mishneim asim mechayiv, and if 11 say that he's not guilty and 12 say that he's guilty, akadichadu, it's still by 1. And we said you cannot have a guilty verdict in capital punishment by 1 judge. And I asar mezakin mishleis asim mechayiv, and if out of the 23, 10 are saying not guilty and 13 are saying guilty, it's tlasahav, it's already a majority of 3. And that we said that the pasuk is based on 2. How do you ever have the case of 2? So Amr Bavo, he says, you're right. You're not going to find having a majority of 2 either only by the case of when we add on judges, which that will be according to every opinion, which the Mishnah teaches us later on the Vimalf Omer Aleph, where if let's say 11 say not guilty, 11 say guilty, and one judge says, I don't know. So the halacha is we have to now add on 2 more judges. And now it's going to be an equal amount of judges. Because the one who says, I don't know, it's like he's non-existent. And now we went up from 22, because although we start up 23, one says he doesn't know, so he's not counted as 22. We add on another 2, which makes it 24. Now you can have a guilty verdict based on a majority of 2 when you have 11 who say not guilty and 13 who say guilty. That's one way. Or another approach is you could have by this Sanhedrin HaGadol, according to Rabbi Yehuda, who he always holds that the great court is not 71, but he holds it 70, he holds then it would always could be paired up. It's very easy, obviously, to have a majority for a guilty verdict based on 2 and not requiring only 3. Now, additionally, V'amr Bavo, he says, B'maisifin, when it's a case that they had to add on more judges, initially, we can go ahead and create an equal amount of judges, which as we just explained, because 1 is out and we're adding 2, that took it from an odd number to an even number. So the Gemara is Pshita. Obviously, that's the Mishnah that we just had mentioned before. It's an explicit Mishnah that says, V'kama meisifin, how much do we add on when one guy says, I don't know, where he's like non-existent? We add on 2 by 2. So since one is saying, I don't know, so obviously it's going to be an equal amount now. So what is Rebbe Vo saying more than the Mishnah says? Says the Gemara, Mao de Tema, what would you think to say that Haidu Kama any day, the judge who says, I don't know, and he's like abstaining, command the Isei Dami, but it's like he's still around. And therefore, Vi Yamar Milsa Shaminile, and if he would say something, we would listen to him. Kamash Malan, that's what Bavo is teaching, the Haidu Kama any day, the one who says, I don't know, command the Lester Dami, it's like he's not existent, it's like he's not even there. And moreover, Vi Yamar Taiman, if he says any rationale, some reasoning, where he shows that, wait a second, that would be a reason why to say he is guilty, that's a reason to say why he's not guilty, and that's actually why he's in doubt. He's explaining his ambivalence. Like we don't listen to him, it's like he's non-existent. That is what Ravo is teaching, that initially we make a bezin shakel. In other words, we don't consider that one there. It's totally an even court, which we might not have known that based on just to test just what the Mishnah told us, where that's being added from Rebbe Avoh, that no, it's totally an equal court. Amar Rav Kahana says another halacha, Sanhedrin shiro kulan l'chayv, regarding the high court, that every judge said that he's guilty, patronize, we actually exempt that person from his guilty verdict. Now, my time, what's the reason? Says Rav Kahana, because Kivan the Gemiri, since we know there's a halacha of halonas din, which the Gemara tells us later on over there in Perek HaYabaitkin, that if, let's say, the judge did not find any merit for the one who's being prosecuted on day one. So they do what's called halonas din, they sleep it overnight till the next day, where maybe overnight he'll find some type of merit for the one that's being prosecuted. Now the whole purpose of that halacha is lemevid leischus, is to find some merit for the one who's being prosecuted. But if the entire court, every single one, says he's guilty, no one's going to see any positive, and therefore it contradicts and it's contraindicated from the halacha of halonas din. And since you're not going to be able to be mekayim that, therefore you can't go ahead and prosecute that individual. Other halachas regarding the Sanhedrin. Ema Shivim b'Sanhedrin says we do not place on the high court ela bali kaima, only those who are men of height, ubali chachma, men of wisdom, ubali mara, men of appearance. In other words, so that they should induce fear by people. Ubali zikna, men of age. Ubali kashafim, men who are proficient in witchcraft. And the reason for that is so that they can kill those who practice witchcraft, who are confident in their witchcraft, to save themselves from the courts. They could counter that. And also to be able to reveal regarding what those who practice witchcraft, who try seducing and enticing people with their witchcraft, like the Egyptians, we need on the Sanhedrin who know this and could counter that. And v'yoydim ba'ayin loshon, they have to know all the 70 languages. And the reason for that is shaloite Sanhedrin shemas mipiat hameturgeman, so that the Sanhedrin should not have to listen to the testimony of witnesses who only know some other of the 70 languages, and they're testifying in front of the high court, that they should not have to put an interpreter between them, because that would actually be a bar problem halachically of eid mipi eid. They wouldn't be hearing the testimony directly; it would be from this person who's testifying, because they heard that's what interpreter on some level is from the one who's really testifying. And to avoid that, they have to know the 70 languages that they could hear directly from the witness. Moreover, Amar Yehuda Merav, he says, "Eim Yeshiv Mesanhedrin, we do not place a judge on the Jewish Supreme Court, the High Court, the Sanhedrin, only if it's a judge that knows how to purify a sheretz, which was something that transmits tumah, that he's so well versed in Jewish law that he could actually find a way of purifying a sheretz biblically from the Torah itself. That's how well he has to know the Torah inside out. Now, Amar Rav, Rav says, Ani Odun Vatiran. He says, you know what, I'll do that. I'll decide this, and I'll find a way of purifying a sheretz. How so? As we continue to base, he says, Umah nocha shemeh misif, regarding a snake that kills men and animals. Umah bertumah, and then increases ritual impurity in the world, because now there's nevelis, dead animal carcasses, which transmits tumah. It kills a person, which is a tumas mess. And still the snake is pure when it dies, because it's not included in the H type of shrotzim, which are those that can make tumah when they're dead. So sheretz, so regarding sheretz, which is from those eight that are written in the Torah that it transmits tumah, well, from these creepy, crawly creatures. She'ena memis umaber tumah, which it doesn't kill and increase ritual impurity in the world. Ena din she'etar, isn't that a kavu chayma, that it should be pure when it dies? And you see, I proved from the Torah itself that the sheretz will be tar and not tameh. Now, says the Gemara, v'lohi, that's actually not a kavu chayma, because it's actually not a stringency on the snake's part if it kills and increases tumma in the world. Because midid hava kreitz ba'alma, the snake really does the same function as a thorn. A thorn also could kill and increase tumma in the world, and still, of course, a thorn is going to be tahar, and it wouldn't reflect anything regarding a sheretz. It's really what a snake is, and therefore it's not an appropriate kal v'chaim to actually even want to show that a sheretz would be tahar. But obviously, the Torah already says that the shmoneh shvatzim are tamei. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Merav. He says, "Kol ir she'im b'shnayim ladaber." Any city that doesn't have two of the judges that are able to talk in the 70 languages, and ve'echel l'shmaya, to have one who at least understands the 70 languages, even though he himself cannot respond in it, eim hashivin b'sanhedri, we do not go ahead and appoint the Sanhedrin in that city. Now, ube beitar habashleisha, in Beitar there were three individuals, Ubiyavna Arba, and in Yavnu, there were four individuals that knew the 70 languages. They were Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Kiva, and Shimon HaTimni, Donlof Nimakaka, and there was also Shimon HaTimni, who was a student, because he didn't have smicha yet, he wasn't that age yet, who was litigating in front of them on the ground. Those were the four. So although the Sanhedrin HaGadol, they all have to know, the Sanhedrin Ketana, you have to have at least three that could know it, two that could talk it, and one that could know it. And in Beitar they had the three, and in Yavnan they even had four. Now, however, the Gemara says, Mesa, but the Gemara asks on Rav's Halacha from the following Brisa. The Brisa says, Shlishis, a Sanhedrin that has three that could talk 70 languages, Chachama. So that's a court that is wise, and therefore is valid to be a Sanhedrin. So you obviously see from this Brisa that you need to have three that could talk, because it says if you have Revius, if you have four judges, then Elam Alam, and there's nothing better than that. But you see that the minimum is three, not like Rav, who said the minimum is two that could talk. Says the Gemara, Hu da'amar ki aitan de detan. He says, you're right, this Brisa is not like Rav, but Rav holds like Tan of the following Brisa, which says, Shnia, if there's two judges that could talk in the 70 languages, Chachama, that's a wise court. Shlishis, in Lamalaman, if you have three, there's nothing higher than that. So therefore, it's not a contradiction, it's a machlekes tanoim, if the minimum is two or three. Now, the Gemara continues with a related discussion that we'll introduce, that we had mentioned that from those four in Yavne that knew the 70 languages, one of them was Shimon HaTimni, who is done lefnei bekarka, because he wasn't yet a rabbi, he was still a student. So that terminology that he was done lefnei bekarka is distinct for Shimon HaTimni, and the Gemara now is going to mention all the different terminologies that we find throughout Shas, throughout the sayings of the Talmud, that who it's referring to. As the Gemara explains, when it says lemeidin lefnei chachamim, that they were learning in front of the sages, that refers to Levi mi Rabbi. It refers to when Levi was learning from Rabbi. Whenever it says dun lefnei chacham, that they were dealing in the law in front of the sages, that refers to Shimon ben Azai, Shimon ben Zayma, Chanan haMitzri, Chananya ben Chachinai, who they were great talmid chachamim, but they still were on the floor. They weren't yet on the level of smicha because they were young. Now, Rav Nachman Yitzchak Masni Chamisha, he says not just those, but he says that there were five that fit into the category of Dun Lefnei Chacham. There were Shimon, B'Shimon, Chanan, B'Chananya. And that is because he adds on Shimon HaTimni, who that's the one that we mentioned before, and that's why the Gemara is introducing all these different teachings, who these five didn't come to the old age, and therefore they were sitting on the ground, and they were responding and asking questions to the elders, and that's what it means, they were being done b'halacha. So whenever it says that term, it would mean one of these five, again, which is like Shimon HaTimni that we said before, is done lefnei b'karka. Continuing on these different terminologies that we find, when it says Rabbi Seinu Shebebavel, our teachers in Bavel, that refers to Rav Ushmul. When it says Rabbi Seinu Shebe'eretz Yisrael, our teachers in Eretz Yisrael, that refers to Rababa. When it refers to Dayana Gaila, the judges in the diaspora, that refers to Karna. When it refers to Dayana de Eretz Yisrael, the judges of Eretz Yisrael, that's Rab Amiv Rabasi. When it says Dayana de Pumbedisa, the judges of Pumbedisa, that refers to Rab Papa Bar Shmuel. When it says Dayana de Narda, that's Rab Adar Bar Menyumi. When it says Sabi de Surah, the elders of Surah, that's Rav Huna of Rav Chizda. When it says Sabbath the Pumbedisa, and these are places, Surah Pumbedisa, these are in Bavel, the elders of Pumbedisa is Rav Yehuda of Rav Eina. When it refers to Harifa the Pumbedisa, the sharp ones of Pumbedisa, that's Ifa Vavimi, who are B'nai Rechava, the sons of Rechava. When it says Amiroi the Pumbedisa, the Amira of Pumbedisa, that's Rabba of Rav Yisuf. When it says Amiroi the Nardoi, the Amira of Nardoi, that refers to Rav Chama. When it says Neharbaloi Masnu, that Narbalians had taught, that refers to Rami Bar Beribi. When it says Ami Bei Rav, that they said in the Yeshiva of Rav, that refers to Rav Huna. Now, in this last one, the Gemara asked, how can you say when it says that they said in the Yeshiva of Rav, it refers to, they're quoting from Rav Huna, but Va'am Rav Huna himself had said Ami Bei Rav, they said in the Yeshiva of Rav, and he wouldn't say that about himself. Eli rather says the Gemara Rav Avnuna. When it says that he said in the Yeshiva of Rav, it refers to a teaching of Rav Avnuna. When it says Ami Ben Marav, they said in the West, meaning in Eretz Yisrael, that refers to Rabbi Yirmiyah. When it says Sholchu Mitam, they sent from there, from Eretz Yisrael, it means Rabbi Yisrael Ber Chanina. When it says Machku Allah Ben Marav, they laughed regarding this in the West, in Eretz Yisrael, that refers to Rabbi Lazar. Now the Gemara asks, but how can you say that? For Sholchu Mitam, but it says, in one of the teachings of the Gemara later on the Flamadal Maralf, it says, and they sent from there that Ladivir B'Yisr Rechanina, that according to the opinion of B'Yisr Rechanina, etc. Now the problem is, we just said that the Sholchu Mitam is B'Yisr Rechanina. So how could he be sending from there in his own name? So Ela'i Bechreda says the Gemara, no, switch around the last two. When it says Sholchu Mitam, that they sent from there, that's Rabbi Lazar. When it says Machku Labem Rava, they laughed regarding this in Eretz Yisrael, that refers to Rabbi Yisi Bar Chanina. Now the Gemara continues explaining from our Mishnah that said, V'kam Yehei Be'ir. Now how many people do they have to be inhabitants in the city? V'yehei Ru'ul Sanhedrin, that it should be fit for the Sanhedrin Hakatan that we were speaking about just before regarding the 23 judges. So it's Machlekes in the Mishnah. The first opinion says, Mei Ve'esem Mechulu, 120 inhabitants. So the Gemara asks, Mei Ve'esem Mayva, to tell you what is the relevancy of having 120 people in the city to say that's the minimum to have a court of 23. So says the Gemara as follows. Esrim v'shloisha k'neged Sanhedrin k'tan. So first of all, you need to have take off 23 people of the city who are going to be that the lower courts that the city is going to have, which are 23 people. Now, moreover, whenever you have a Sanhedrin k'tana, you have to have a shalish shurais shal esrim v'shloisha. You have to have three rows, and each row in front of the Sanhedrin k'tana, that each row has 23, which later on, the Mishnah teaches us on the Daf Lamed Zayin and Aleph. The reason for that is because if they might need to give smicha and add on to judges, that they could take smicha from these, and we explain over there why did they have to have three rows, each one of 23. But that's the halacha, that you have to have, the Sanhedrin Ketana has to have three rows, each of 23. So Hari Tisha Matarati, already up to 92 people, just because of the Sanhedrin itself. Now, additionally, Vasar Batlanan, you have to have 10 people that are not doing any work, that are prepared, shall base a knesses that they're always available to be in the shul, to be there for shachris and mincha ma'ariv, where the Gemara in Brachas tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he comes to the shul and he doesn't find 10 people, he immediately gets upset, so to speak, as the Gemara tells in Megillah Daf Gimel Mabez, that therefore any city that doesn't have asar batlan, 10 people always available to daven the shul, is not evaluated like a city, but rather like a village. And therefore, if there's no asar batlanim, it's not fit to have a Sanhedrin, because Sanhedrin has to be only by the gates of a city, and it's not going to be considered a city without having the asar batlanim. So you have to add another 10 people, Hare Mei Betray, you already have 102. Now, moreover, Vishnei Seifim, you have to have two scribes who they write the claims of each party, and also they're always sitting in front of the judges, as the Gemara tells us later on Daf Mem Omer Aleph. So these scribes are always writing what the judges are saying. And Mishnei Chazanin, you also have two attendants of the court to hit the ones that are guilty and to summon the litigants to court. And Mishnei Balidinin, you also have to have the two litigants, because if not, who exactly are they judging? You have to have two parties that are in the court case. And Mishnei Edim, you also have to have two witnesses. And Mishnei Zayman, you also have to have two extra people that the original witnesses will be afraid to lie, because then there's two other people in the city that could do hazama to them and say, hey, how could you have said that? You with us at that time. Now, but also, b'shnei zemei zemei, you have to add another two people that could be mazim, the ones who did hazama, because maybe what's going to happen is that one litigant will bring witnesses to go ahead and take against his friend. Now, the other party will hire two people to do hazama to those first two witnesses. So therefore, you have to have at least another two people in the city that these false witnesses that he's hiring to do hazama to the original witnesses, if they're going to come to do hazama, they'll be afraid that maybe those two other people in town will do hazama to us. So we're not just going to go ahead and be hired for this point of doing hazama to these original witnesses. So Hare Meir V'Ar Besa, so already up to 114. Now, more of the Tanya in the Braisa regarding the remaining six that we said the city has to have 120. The Braisa says, "Kol ir she'im ba asar devarim halalu." Any city that doesn't have these following 10 things, which as we're going to see, that really get primarily divided, where a lot of the things can be done by one person, and then the remaining two are split amongst the having the court, which is the Sanhedrin we're talking about, and the Gaboyim, the attendants that take care of the charity, which are so it gets split really into three different departments. But there is 10 things that a city has to have, and if it doesn't have, ain't Talmud Chacham Rashoi Lader B'Teicha, then it's not a sufficient city, and therefore a Talmudic scholar can't dwell in that city. What are they? Bez Din Makan V'Ancient, have a court that could hit and could punish, which we had been talking about before regarding the Sanhedrin. V'kubah Shal Tzedakah Nigvis B'Shnayim, so too you have to have a charity that could be collected by two people, umeschalekes b'shleisha, that could be divided and given out by three judges, as the Gemara explains in Baba Basa Chesem Adbeis, why you have to collect with two and have three other people give out the tzedakah. Ubeis HaKnesses, the city has to have a shul. Ubeis HaMerchitz, and has to have a bathhouse. Ubeis HaKisei, and has to have a lavatory. Has to have a reife, a doctor who could do circumcision on the children. Ve'uman has to have a blood letter. Ve'lavler has to have a scribe who could write svarim. Some have the girsa betavach, that has to have a butcher. Umalam tenaikis, and someone who teaches children. They said that af mini peri has to have also different types of fruits. Because different types of produce lightens up the eye. So Talmud Chacham has to have these things. But one thing that we see from this is that the first thing that it says regarding the court to have to hit and to punish, that really said from the 116, from the 114 that we had mentioned, which was a big part of that was the Sanhedrin. Now regarding the collecting and giving out of the tzedakah, that's five people. We said two to collect, three to give it out. So from the six that we needed, we already have five, two and three that are doing the tzedakah. And then the remaining one that we need for the count of 120 is that you could have one person who is the reife, who is the who is the lavla, who is the malamed. He could do all the jack of all these trades. That you only need one person that could do all these things. And therefore, that makes for a sum total of needing at least a minimum of 120 people to have the basic structure of what could be in this city, to be a city, and to go ahead and have a Sanhedrin Ketana there in that city. That was the opinion of the Tanakhama. Now, the Gemara quotes from the Mishnah, the Reb Nechemya Emi Bechulu, he said that actually the minimum is 230. As he explained in the Mishnah, Keneged Sari Asaris. Since a judge who's on the Sanhedrin Ketana has to be a distinguished person, he has to be at least the lowest level of authority that the Torah mentions, which is a leader over 10 people, 23 times 10 is 230. So that's a minimum amount of people to be in the city so that at least each judge could be a leader over 10 people. Now, Tanya learned the Braisa, a third opinion, Rebbe, he says, as you continue to talk about Chesem and Aleph, Messiah Meshiv Meshiv, that 277, which is that 230, he holds like Reb Nechemya's logic of being a leader over 10. But he adds in another 47, because if the court gets divided, we have 11 who's saying that he's not guilty, and 11 who's saying that he is guilty, and one who's saying, I don't know. So you keep on adding from these 47 until the number 23 reaches all the way till 70. As the Gemara says later on, Perek HaYibaitkin, of Mem Maralv, where we keep on adding to the court of 23, and if they're going to find that he's not guilty, so you have 13 who says not guilty, and 11 who say that he's guilty, so then he's going to be not guilty. And if they say that he's chayiv, he's going to be chayiv. Where then you're going to be able to lean it for a guilty verdict, as we say, based on two judges. But if they're going to be divided, then you're going to have to keep on adding two and two and two and so on until, as we're going to see shortly in the Gemara, where according to Rabbi Yehuda, until they reach a number 70, or according to Rabban, until they reach a number of 71. So therefore, that's why you need the extra 47 to add on to the inhabitants of the city for to have that pool to use to add on to the Sanhedrin Ketana in cases of when there's a stalemate, when one person says, I don't know. Now, the Gemara actually asked about Tanya, we'll learn the Braisa, the Rebbe Omer Masayim Shivim Mishmaina. How could we say from Rebbe that it's 277? We have another Braisa that says he holds it 278. It says the Gemara, Leikash, it's not difficult. The Har Rebbe Yehuda, the Har Rabbanan, the Rabbanan are the ones who say it has to be 278, because as we said, we need the extra amount that Rebbe's included, more than the Pin of Reb Nechemya, to add up, to go up to either 70 or 71. So 277 is according to the opinion who holds that Rabbi Yehuda, that it's 70, and 278 is according to Rabban, who say goes up to 71. Now, Tan Rabban, we learned in the Braisa, and the Pasuk in Shemai says, which is this concept that Reb Nechemya's opinion is based on, that the lowest a judge could be a leader over is at least of 10 people. The Pasuk in Shemai says that Besamta aleim, sorry, alafim, that you should place upon the Jewish people leaders of the thousands, sorry, mayis, leaders of hundreds, sorry, chamishim, leaders of fifties, besari, asaris, and leaders of tens. What does this mean? How many judges are there going to be? Well, sorry, alafim, leaders of thousands is sheish mayis, is going to be 600, because since there were 600 men that there were, so if the leaders of thousands are going to be 600. If you're going to split up the Jewish people by groups of thousands. Sari Meis, leaders of hundreds, are Sheshes Alafim, are 6,000. Sari Chamishim, leaders of 50, Ishnai Masar Elef, is 12,000. Sari Asaris, the lowest level leaders who are leaders only of tens, are Shishim Ribri, are 60,000. Because if you split up 600,000 by tens, you're going to get 60,000. Concludes the Braisa, Nimtzu, Dayan Yisrael, comes out that the amount of judges that they were by the Jewish people in the times of the Midbar were Shivas Ribri, were 70,000. 1,000, Ushmainis alafim and 8,000, the Shesh Meres and 600, so you have 78,600. That's how many judges there were, again, with different levels in the times of the Midbar. Again, that's why Reb Nechemiah holds, and Rebbe's opinion is based on that, you need to have at least 230 inhabitants in the city to have this Sanhedrin Ketana, because this lower court has to have at least that each judge will be at least a Sari Asaris, a leader over 10 people in his city. Hanulach Dini Mamanis, we shall return to you the first paragraph of Sanhedrin, Parag Dini Mamanis.